35. On the morning of Friday, February 28th, 8 months before Election Day 2020, Trump's longtime campaign manager Brad Parscale was feeling confident. At times, he was exuberant. With a bushy, honey-red beard, a full 6'8", he sat comfortably in his 14th-floor office at Trump campaign headquarters in Virginia. The backdrop was a sweeping, panoramic view of the Potomac River. "I'm a master brander," Parscale told several staff members and visitors that day. He said Trump set the themes of campaigning and governing, and Parscale's operation converted those themes, along with Trump's tweets, into a massive, unmatched media blitz of messaging and fundraising. Put another way, Parscale said, "The president is the radio and the music. We're the amplifier." Once in a while, Parscale said, his job for Trump would make him what he called the songwriter. He would say, "Hey, here are a few things you should look at." The campaign was rolling on at a feverish pace. Using artificial intelligence, Parscale's operation would test up to 100,000 message variables in a single day. For example, they tested whether a red or green press to donate button raised more money in fundraising. In 10 seconds, the AI models could tell them how a particular ad performed compared to the last 4 million that had been run before it. They had almost 20 $1 million fundraising days in a row lately. Trump's State of the Union address, held on February 4th, had been the biggest day of the year so far, with $5.3 million raised. Parscale, now 44, was one of the 2016 campaign's first hires and had stayed working on media as Trump hired and fired campaign managers. "A blessing in disguise was his daughter's marriage to Jared," Parscale said. "I think Jared Kushner was the operator that he needed, the yin to his yang, a detail guy. Jared's meticulous." Trump needed two important personality types in Parscale's estimation. Somebody to be meticulous with the details to make sure the organization's right. That was Kushner. Number two, someone to understand his brand and marketing and sell his vision. That's me. There was a clear division of labor. "I run everything political outside the White House. Ronna McDaniel, the RNC chairwoman, runs everything for the party, and then Jared runs everything inside the White House." Parscale knew the connection between Trump's tweets and the ads. Think of Trump's head more like a starting point of every root narrative we have. "In 2016, I made 5.9 million ads on Facebook. It was only about 35 root narratives." That's what the media's never gotten wrapped around their head. Parscale was so proud of the campaign he was managing that he said, "They'll make movies about us someday." He said Trump's impeachment in the House of Representatives and Senate acquittal led to 1 million new donors. The reward was money and data. The average donation to the Trump campaign in the fourth quarter of 2019 was $40.87. Kushner calls this a data-palooza, a term Parscale embraces. 3 years earlier, Parscale had urged Trump to get organized. "Sir, get out there and get out there early. Being president is an advantage, but it's how soon you do it that's the advantage." Trump filed FEC documents on Inauguration Day and quickly followed up with a February 2017 rally in Florida. "I do a lot of things that people in politics think are counterintuitive, but they've worked really well. Become campaign manager 1,400 days before it starts. I'm the longest campaign manager in history." The ability to contact voters, even low-propensity voters, had increased over the years. Previously, the campaigns had to send someone to knock on a door or send mail, which was expensive. Parscale said now he could contact someone on their phone 100 times for about 11 cents. Which Democrats caused Trump the most trouble? The more mainstream, the more they appeal to moderates. "Look, this election is about moderates. That's who determines elections." At this point, he said he thought there would be three main issues in the campaign: the economy, immigration, and health care. Pascal conducted focus groups in 12 different cities in 8 states all over the country with over 1,000 people about the presidential race. One question was, would you vote for someone you like but don't agree with his policies, or would you vote for someone you don't like but you like his policies? 100% said, I'll vote for the guy I don't like but I like his policies. 1,000-0. Whether true or not, it seemed to be his strong view. Here was the paradox, according to Pascal. Trump believed presence is so important. He'd say it's probably more important how I look when I give a speech than the speech I give. Pascal added a corollary. You get a picture with the president of China. It's more important than whatever you did there in the meeting. The average voter would think, oh, the president's in China. I feel safe. We're not going to war with them. As Pascal described it, Trump had a power to persuade that is almost mystical. Now, I've finally known him so long, I come back and I say, you did that. I know what you did to me. Trump had made him see what he wanted him to see, such as toughness, but no war with China, Russia, or North Korea. He's like, I was right, though. And I was like, yeah, you were right. On election night, Trump told him, don't stand next to me. Trump was supposedly 6'3", and Pascal was 5 inches taller. Appearance mattered. Appearance defined. There were few photos of the two together. After the 2020 election, Pascal said, my guess is there will be a huge rush of people wanting to befriend me. A lot of people think he's going to win. And in theory, I have the key to the biggest data trove that's ever existed. He added, they'd have to offer me a lot of money, though. I'm not doing this for free. A visitor asked Pascal where the hole in re-election might be. The coronavirus, he said emphatically. The main headline in the New York Times that day was, coronavirus fears drive stocks down for 6th day. 64 cases had been confirmed in the United States. The day before, Trump had said during remarks in the cabinet room, it's going to disappear. One day, it's like a miracle, it will disappear. To Pascal, the worry was jobs, not the influence the virus had on the stock market. We never gained any votes from the stock market, he said. If the stock market affects jobs, then we lose. Votes are for jobs and personal incomes. Pascal stuck to his main worry. The coronavirus, the thing you never see. The president kind of said this before. It's a long hallway, and every day I open new doors. And one day, I'm going to open a door, and there's going to be a piece of dynamite behind it.